Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello and happy 2011. It's the first show of 2011. And I thought, you know what a great way to start the year. But let's look at what enlightenment is and how do we know when we're there and what is the process? So I really chose that topic when I was putting together this month's show because I thought it's a great way for us to start the new year. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And again, we're talking about enlightenment and how can you live an enlightened life? What I'm going to be doing throughout the show is talking a little bit about enlightenment so we have a full understanding of what it really means and what it looks like. And then also I'm going to be sharing some suggestions of how you can live an enlightened life and revealing some of the indicators that will let you know that you actually are enlightened and living an enlightened life. So it'll be a lot of fun, I think, to be able to cover this, and hopefully will inspire you to take some of those steps that you've been working on so diligently in the year of 2010 as far as getting rid of a lot of the things, that resolve that was the energy that was happening in that whole year as far as the theme. It's like getting in and resolving, mean reevaluating your life, what's working, what isn't, starting the process of change and resolution, and then getting the completion. And it seems like at the end of the year, the more readings that I were doing were focused on the fact that people were saying, oh my gosh, Carol, I thought I was moving along, but everything is at warp speed right now as far as just really getting, you know, so much closure to things, and it's almost like cramming for an exam. Well, that's really what the month of December really was all about, was just going in and being sure that what we were going to start moving forward on and implementing in 2011 really had to do with the closure, and be sure that we're not hanging on to a lot of the things that really we don't need very much. Before I started the show, Billy and I were talking, my producer, about the fact that this is all about movement. It's all about implementation. And what we tend to do both in our homes and in our life is we tend to accumulate a lot of stuff that at the time seems like we really need it. It's important. And then we suddenly start to realize, especially when we're going to start this movement or literally move, that, you know, I haven't used that for maybe 3 years or 5 years and I don't really need it anymore. And part of the enlightenment process is that resolve, letting it go. But it's also about putting a plan in place, a process in place to be able to implement and move forward. So there's a sneak preview of today's show. A lot of the information I'm going to be sharing is actually off of my CD, Enlightenment, the Path. Let's start over again. CD, Enlightenment, the Path to Personal Liberation. If you'd actually like to listen to a preview of the CD, you can visit my website at www.reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. Go to the tabs at the top, go to products, click on audio CDs, and then you'll be able to hear a short excerpt from the CD. And then if you like what you hear, you can actually purchase the CD, Enlightenment, the Path to Personal Liberation, right there on the same page. And what we'll do is we'll get your order, and you can pay it through PayPal. We'll get your order, and then we'll send it off to you. And then you can learn more about enlightenment, because there really is a process, and there are actually 7 different steps in the process that every thought that we create goes through. But when we're really working to move from that fear-based consciousness to moving to that enlightened consciousness, it really does have a process. It has 7 steps. It's kind of like climbing a ladder. Once you climb the ladder, then you start the process over. But it isn't where you went back to where you were before. That's the real indicator that you are really in that enlightened state of mind and consciousness, is that, yes, everything goes through steps. Everything has a process. But when it appears that you're starting over, you're really not starting over where you originated. What you're doing is you're building off of what you've already done as far as the process itself. So it can be exciting. It can be euphoric. Sometimes it can be daunting. It can be a little bit scary. Your self-doubt will probably come in and rear its head and basically ask yourself over and over again, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? And the more you are convinced that you want to do it, the more enlightened you become, the more inspired, courageous, and then the inner gumption, as my mom used to call it, that we have to be able to look in the face of our fears and in the adversity and the challenges and basically say, you know, this is what I desire my life to be. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about the topic today or about your health, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the United States, Canada, and also for international callers. So if any of you in London or Germany or Australia or any of the places that I've been doing readings are interested in listening to the show, just dial 877-230-3062. And, of course, enter your international calling code before you actually dial the number. So as I've mentioned a couple times, one of the things is kind of that broken record process that we have to do. And the way our mind is, it's like we have to reiterate to ourselves over and over again that we really want to move toward that enlightenment consciousness. So really, when we look at enlightenment, we have to really realize that it's a process. It's actually an evolutionary journey that's both of self-growth, personal discovery, self-discovery, personal growth, and then also in the process of discovering who you are, what your talents and strengths are, in that personal growth associated with putting those talents and strengths in action, you actually go through a tremendous spiritual evolution at the same time. Important to remember, it's a process and not a destination, because what we're doing is we're in the process of always experiencing, learning, growing, changing, expanding, and actually evolving. A destination, when we think of enlightenment as a destination, it's like we take one facet of our life and, okay, I'm there, so I don't need to do anymore. But that's really not what enlightenment is about. It begins the moment that you create a new thought, and it ends when you actually change that thought. And again, as I mentioned, each thought goes through seven different steps, but from the time it's created to the time the change of that thought takes place. And so when you think of the state of a mind of enlightenment, it creates a heightened sense of awareness. Your physical senses become more heightened. You may see things that you don't see. You may be taking a path that you do or a route that you do to work, and all of a sudden one day it's like, oh, I didn't recognize that. I don't remember that house, or I don't remember that garden, or I don't remember that person. And then something inside says, well, you've seen that house every single day that you've gone by. And the enlightenment is where it takes those five physical senses and it really heightens them. You may hear something that has been said over and over and over again, but for some reason, that particular moment, it really, really clicked in. The other part of it is as it heightens your sensitivity of your five physical senses, at the same time, it's really heightening your intuition, that reticular activating system that we have that's part of the medulla of the brain. And that part that is that extrasensory aspect of the brain that really connects the dots. That part of the brain looks for patterns. The brain itself in so many ways looks at an individualized experience or an activity or an event. But the medulla, part of this reticular activating system, looks for patterns. So when we heighten our awareness through that enlightenment process, through the physical senses, all of a sudden we start to notice patterns. And then with noticing patterns, our intuition starts connecting the dots for us. And it really opens up our mind to these infinite possibilities that the universe really is always supplying us. And frankly, our brain is always supplying us. It's just that we get caught up in a certain way that we think. So when we get into that enlightened consciousness, what we really do is we expand our perception, the way we see things. We start to look at patterns. We may even experience a sense of unity with all that exists. You know, you may become one with your car, that zen of car, where you become one with your car, where every movement you make in your body makes it with the car itself. It could be just getting in touch with nature and so forth. So all of those parts of enlightenment are part of the process. Basically, enlightenment is really the search for our inner self. It's an adventure in understanding, but understanding who we are. And it starts to give us snippets and glimpses of what our soul's purpose really is. And it helps us understand our place in the universe. The sense we feel when we're in the enlightened process is really personal liberation. we're not necessarily bound by our conditioning anymore or by our old patterns of thinking or behavior or from those mental limitations that we constantly believe are holding us back. And one of the things that I heard over and over again for 2010 was, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. Well, we really never are stuck. But we can get stuck in our thinking. And when our thinking gets caught in the thoughts that repeat the past or in that fear-based consciousness, then as a result, all we see is our world. All our senses see are the same things over and over again. So when we step into enlightenment, then everything shifts our focus from the outer world to the inner world. It makes it possible for us to access the wisdom we hold inside. We are very, very wise beings inside. And every so often in our intuitive insights, we get a real glimpse of what that wiseness is that we hold inside. And that wisdom that is associated with the intuition lets us see that we really aren't bound by the limitations of our external world, that there's a whole world of possibilities that lie within us. Now, when we go in and we start touching that inner self, we're able to really start discovering those inherent gifts that we hold inside, those natural talents and strengths. I was listening to a commercial that was on Contact Talk Radio before I came back, before I came on the air, about getting rid of your goo. And one of the things that I heard in that particular segment was the fact that if it's, you're working from your strengths, it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be a struggle. There shouldn't be suffering. So in enlightenment, we're encouraged to go inside and really look at, what are we good at? What are we naturally good at? Are we good at listening? Are we good at teaching? Is this something we've done our whole life, whether we've called it being a teacher or not? Are we a counselor or a mentor? Are we an outstanding gardener? Do we have wonderful creative artistic abilities? And then in the enlightenment process, where you touch those abilities, then the process is then, what are we going to do with them? Put together in a plan and so forth. What it really does is enlightenment teaches us to love ourselves and accept who we are, and we won't be as susceptible to that negative self-talk that basically causes us to reject ourselves. There are actually three steps that must be taken if you're to live an enlightened life. I don't use the word must very often, if any of you are familiar with me, but I'm familiar with me and my work, but the reality is there is an absolute order in the universe, and there is a must in the universe in order for us to become enlightened and to live an enlightened life. There are three steps that we need to go through in order to be able to move ourselves to that place of enlightenment. The first thing is we must evaluate our thoughts, because they're really the source of all of our experience. These thoughts are vibrational, whether they're spoken or they're not. And what that vibration does, based on the thoughts you create, it actually sets in motion the law of magnetic attraction. And, you know, we may say that I desire to stand on a stage and sing as part of my bringing my natural talents forward. Now, that sets a vibration, sends it out into the universe, and the universe starts to accommodate and vibrationally attracting experiences that could give us a chance to sing on stage. But what about the thought that is immediately following that is, I desire to sing on stage. And then that thought comes in and goes, who are you kidding? There's no way. You don't even know how to sing. That thought actually has more power in its negativity. And I always say to people, it's kind of like that negative thought hunts down that positive thought, consumes it. And then what we get out in the universe is all of this part of doubt. You know, I can't do it. I don't have the lessons. I don't have the right thing. I don't know how to have any stage, but blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, we get all this affirmation of all those limitations from people. We'll say to a friend, you know, I desire in the year of 2011 that I'm going to get on the stage and sing. And once the person kind of gets that glazed look over their eyes, they say to you, do you know how to sing? Well, there we're being supported. So again, in the process of enlightenment, it begins by really paying attention to the thoughts that you think that are both spoken and unspoken. And I mean, we create, if neuroscience is accurate in what they say, we create 60,000 thoughts a day. How are we going to pay attention to that? I mean, we do have to function, don't we? So what do? We look for the negative thoughts. Maybe we have negative attitudes. Maybe we have a negative attitude toward ourselves. Maybe something happened in second grade where some friend turned around and said to us, you've got to be kidding. You can't sing at all. All of those things can create the imprints that build thoughts that can start us on the path of limitation. When it comes to really, when we look at thoughts, there really isn't any such thing as luck or chance, because all of the, everything that we are thoughts. So if we by any chance fall in good luck, what that means is that we created a thought that was open and receptive, that really worked from who we truly are, sent it out in the universe, and the universe gifted us with what we desire. But then what we do is we have to not talk ourselves out of it. So if you're to live an enlightened life, you've really got to pay attention to your thoughts and master the thoughts that don't serve you well. And it doesn't have to take years of therapy, or it's not really even brain surgery. If you have a repetitive pattern that you feel compromised about, or you start to struggle with or anything, step back, take a deep breath, look at it, look at how it's impacted your life. Does it match your strengths? And then go to through the process of changing it. The second step in enlightenment is to feel what you desire. The key word is desire, because it's charged with the energy of excitement and non-attachment. Non-attachment meaning that you're really engaged in the process of your desire. You really do desire it, but you're not trying to control the outcome. You don't put all those limitations. Well, I desire to sing on stage. Oh, by the way, by noon tomorrow. Well, that's a limitation. The universe, in the process, we sent out that limitation negative thought, basically caught the positive thought and basically negated it. So again, in desire, it's non-attachment. If you want it, then what it is that you have an emotional charge. If you need it, then you have a mental charge. So the key word is desire. The next thing that you need to do is you need to go in and you need to put together an action plan. The energy of 2011 is all about implementation. You've did a lot of work over the course of the last few years, 2010, tremendous amount of work. Now, that doesn't mean that your laundry list was completed of the things that you wanted to do, but let me tell you that I am sure that what you did in 2010 is exactly what you needed to do in perfection in order to implement the life that you desire, that enlightened life in 2011. Yes, maybe it wasn't everything, but it was what was important to you. So in that particular case, we have to put together an action plan to get what we desire. And what that means is that we have to set goals. And if you're not inclined to set goals, then maybe you're inclined by personality set objectives, or maybe in personality you're inclined to create dreams. All of those things, objectives, goals, dreams, desires, all of those are really very concrete, definitive actions that you want to take place. Then what you can do as part of the action plan is use affirmations and visualization and meditation. Maybe you'll find what you're looking for when you're helping friends or learning new skills, or you're doing something that you've dreamed about, something that makes you feel good at what you're doing and makes what I say all the time, makes my heart smile. And then when we do that, then it's effortless. Then it isn't hard. It isn't a struggle. A lot of times we think that in action, we've got to press forward because we set a goal. Yes, the goal was the desire, but be realistic when you set the goal. You know, the desire is that by the time of 2011, I choose to be able to fulfill this desire by doing this action plan and by doing this a little bit every day, visualizing myself where I want to be on stage, using affirmations that I can sing, taking singing lessons if we need to, whatever it may be. But every day, work toward your desire. And then you know what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And chances are, really, in that part of it, and it's not by chance, but chances are it's going to happen quicker than you really even expected it to happen. One of the great things about the universe is your birthday is your celebration day. The universe basically calls upon all guides and angels and all souls in light and basically says, today is a special day for this person. And what the universe says is make a wish, create that wish, Be clear, concise, add the passion of desire to it, that you desire this, that you're going to do what is needed to get there, and then give it to the universe, and the universe will gift you with what you desire before your next birthday. So if you have birthdays coming up this month, next month, continuing on, remember that the universe is always there to support what we're looking for and what we desire. And when we desire what really is in alignment with us, it just plain happens. And that's part of the enlightenment process. So three important steps: evaluate. And then what you do is then you go in, you educate, evaluate, and orchestrate. That's really what it's all about. Evaluate what you need, educate yourself on what you can do by finding your strengths, and then orchestrate what you're looking for. Well, what I want to do is let's jump in now. Boy, I've got lines, and I'm loving this part of the show. Lines, let's go to Ellen in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Oh, it's so good to talk to you. You know, I'm not doing that great, which is why I'm on the phone. I do need my strength and stamina to reach my goals. And I don't know what's going on with my body. I'm sorry, I'm tired, so I'm a
That's okay. That's okay, sweetie. We need to be able to let the emotions associated with it. So go ahead, go for it.
Well,
you're
right
tired.
Now, I'm having these heat waves. And I don't know what's causing them, but they're full body heat waves, and they keep me awake during the night. And that's one of the things that's going on, but that's the most perplexing and troublesome at the moment. So I'm just going to start with that.
Okay, very, very good. So let's do this really physical, because that's where your brain needs to be able to have some answers. So what you're dealing with is the typical thing that would normally be said if you were to work with a doctor is, oh, you're just going through the hormonal changes that are occurring based on age and just what your body naturally goes through as a female body. But I want to go a step further, honey. It's really, from what I'm touching you, what we have is we have some thyroid issues that are going on. The hypothalamus of the brain is responsible for body temperature. The hypothalamus and the pituitary gland are bosom buddies. When the pituitary gland goes through any kind of change, any kind of emotional stress, because the pituitary gland reads emotions, that's really what triggers the fight or flight and all the things that we go through. Whenever the hypothalamus is malfunctioning, meaning that it's not producing and secreting the neurotransmitters the way that it needs to with the correct message, it sends the message to the pituitary, we have a problem. The thyroid then interacts with the pituitary by speeding up the metabolism or decreasing the metabolism, depending on the message that it receives. And then what the thyroid does is it speeds up the metabolism that triggers the adrenals to think there's a problem that puts our body in a state of fight or flight. And then the hypothalamus rereads the situation and says, oh my gosh, we have a problem. So, do you work with a doctor?
I don't. I did order a thyroid supplement recently because I thought it might be a thyroid thing, because my hair and my skin, I've lost so much hair. And
good girl.
My skin just collapsed. You know,
yeah.
It just
yeah.
looks much older than I am. And so I ordered the Thytrophin, which is a...
Right.
You know, and I just started taking that.
Okay. One of the things that you might do, and I can tell you how you can look at this, is that you can take an old-fashioned thermometer, not one of these digital ones, but an old-fashioned thermometer, shake it down, keep it by your bed. In the morning before you get out of bed, when you first wake up before a lot of movement, put the thermometer underneath your arm, right or left, doesn't make any difference. Lay there for a period of time, maybe a minute, 2 minutes, and then I want you to write down your temperature.
Okay.
And then what I want to do is for to have you to do it for 7 to 10 days. It's going to tell you in the variation of your temperature where your thyroid is. There's also some online services that you could actually do some blood work that you could, they could send you the stuff that you could go in and have some blood work done. Let's see. There's some wonderful integrative medicine doctors right there in Phoenix, Arizona, that studied with Dr. Andrew Weil, under the University of Phoenix, Arizona, as far as doing integrative medicine. My sense is that you will get some reprieve and some relief from the thyroid that you're going to be taking. But I also would like to encourage you to get some blood work done. You do feel like you're going to be on the low side, but it also feels that while you're on the low side, you're not off the scale, but while you're on the low side, what we have is we have a dynamics that's going on with the neurotransmitters in your body that's causing combination thyroid, a little bit of the hormones with a change that it feels like that you're going through, I'm not sure truthfully whether you're going through it or you're finishing it up. So that right there is an indicator when I'm touching your energy that we have some hormone changes that are happening that are pretty erratic, frankly. And so you can look at that as well. So I would look, at that, but that's exactly the thing that's coming up. And what you'll get is you'll get these power surges, but your power surges feel like they're more tied to thyroid than they are tied to hormones. The other thing is, sweetie, is you might want to really watch the food you're eating. I'm getting a vibrational inconsistency in your pancreas as far as insulin. You'll want to go to complex carbohydrates. Stay away from simple carbohydrates. Anything that's white food, get it out of your diet for a short period of time. In Ayurvedic medicine, they would say that your pitta, your gut, is too hot.
I
think that what you'll do is look for ways to be able to cool your gut as well as what we're talking about.
Yeah, I went off sugar like months and months and months ago because of candida. I mean, I just have so many issues that I'm always trying to keep it all under control.
Right.
And I don't eat much white bread.
Yeah.
But yet I'm aware that my gut is hot. I mean, I know it is. I think, you know, we do eat like Mexican food and salsas and things like that. And maybe I shouldn't eat that either.
Absolutely. And you know what? Just try it.
I just lost you.
And in that part of it, if it changes it, then what you can do is go in and, you know, just maybe take out the cayenne pepper or the jalapenos or different things. What I keep picking up, Ellen, what you're dealing with, sweetie, really does have a solution.
Well, that's always good to hear.
what I'm not picking up is we have something that is going to create more problems, or it's going to be, or there's something that's, you know, more compromising associated with it. So it's just going in and, you know, starting at the thyroid and giving it the support that it needs, especially since the skin and hair loss are the first thing that every one of us, male and female, lets us know we have a thyroid that's bouncing around. It's low. When we get too hot, sometimes it's hyper. What we don't want is we don't want the immune system to become involved to the point where we get Hashimoto's or anything like that. I'm not picking that up. So what you're doing, let's jump on it right now. Look at what you can do. Let's get it back into some semblance of balance. Get the blood work done so you know what you're dealing with, and then you can go from there. Your sleep cycles are off because of it. Your skin quality, the skin on your legs and your shins, I can actually go in, are thickening. All of those are indicators of thyroid.
Yeah.
So
how long do you think it takes for body to begin to respond to the supplement?
Usually supplements, truthfully, are a little slower than they are if we were to do medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's put a plan, kind of like this enlightened plan, what we're doing. Let's put a plan in place and not put a time on it. What I will say to you is that because of the depletion that you've been going through, all the work that you've been doing psycho-spiritually, emotionally, all of the saying the things that you needed to in the last 2 years, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow morning, but who knows? But it won't be as long as you're thinking about, honey. If you went on a thyroid medication, you would start feeling results probably in maybe 6 to 10 weeks. With a supplement, everybody's different. It may be that you'll feel a difference in a week, and then it may be 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I'm not sure. Most important thing is, sweetie, you've got to believe that this is the path that you want to do, because your intuition gave you a great gift by telling you that that's where you needed to start. So trust it.
Well, my intuition and listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I'm going to join in with you. I love you, and I am going to be a part of this taking credit.
Please do.
Thank you. You know, because I was saying the other day when I was doing reading, you know, I work in a vacuum, and I think, okay, well, this is all really good. I know it's a natural strength. And then I get a validation. It's like, oh, my gosh, this really does work.
Yeah, no, it was definitely you that led me to the thyroid conclusion. Carol, I switched the hormones that I was taking a few months ago, and this mm-hmm. started about a month after I switched my hormones. So do you think that there was a connection?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think it's the hormones I was on before were maybe better for me than what I'm taking now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
See, you knew all those answers yourself, didn't you?
Well, I don't know.
But you,
okay.
It's difficult for absolutely. All right, sweetie. Well, listen, light and love to you, and you're on the right. Go back.
Thank you.
And then go from there. All right. Thanks, sweetie. Okay, what I'm going to do is let's come back. You know that you're living an enlightened life. Have a wonderful day. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me for today's show, I'm talking about how to live an enlightened life and the fact that enlightenment is a process. And what I'm going to be doing in this particular segment, I'm going to be talking about how do you know that you're living an enlightened life. I'd also like to invite you to join me in Andover, Massachusetts, April 9th. I'm going to be presenting day workshop with John Holland and Lauren Rainbow on the theme of 2011, which is finding your way. And the day event is Finding Your Way, Intuitive Messages for the Mind, Body, and Spirit. Lauren is a wonderful intuitive, and what she's going to be doing is she's going to be sharing insights into the working of the mind. John Holland, a wonderful medium about working with spirit, is going to be revealing how we're all linked to spirit and how we can use the messages that our spirit's guides send us or that our spirit sends us. And then I'm going to be sharing how to connect with your body so you can interpret the messages that it sends you and understand what to do with those messages. So again, it's April 9th. It's in Andover, Massachusetts. It's going to be a fun, wonderful day. Each one of us are going to be offering a free drawing to the participants. There is an early registration discount that is available. So if you're interested in joining the three of us, you can go to my page, www.reitberger.com on my site. Go under the What's New section on the homepage. And then what you can do is just click on the link there. It'll take you for more information. You can actually register online. We have seats that are for the up in the front. So if it's something you're interested in, it's a great time to go ahead and sign up, get the discount. And then what you'll do is you'll have a chance to spend time with Lauren, John, and myself. It should be a lot of fun, a very enlightening day. So in the first segment, I really shared how enlightenment is a process and not a destination, and that the process really begins with the thoughts that we create and changing the thoughts that are limiting us. However, That's not when enlightenment process ends, because as I mentioned, it's an endless loop. You take a thought, it has a lifespan itself, stages that it goes through, steps that it proceeds through. And then what it does, that thought reaches its maturity, reaches its completion. It basically then is let go and a new thought is created. Living an enlightened life means not repeating the same old thoughts over and over again, which really requires that you pay attention to your habits, to your perceptions, and to those old thoughts. Then use what we've learned from those thoughts kind of as guideposts or benchmarks to be able to measure our progress to move us forward in what we desire. Instead of going in and saying, oh, my, you know, here it is, here it is, here it is. I don't know why it comes up. When those thoughts come up, it's like, wow, been there, done that. Don't need to do it anymore. It means not hanging on to those negative emotions that basically block us from feeling good about ourselves. And because when we feel bad about ourselves, then that's the energy that we send out into the universe. And truly, that's the experiences in the law of magnetic attraction that comes back to us, that just basically continues to feed our not feeling good about ourselves. The best indicator to let you know whether you are living an enlightened life or not is to really measure the way that you feel around suffering. The word suffering, we're not designed in our humanness to suffer. We're designed to struggle. Our physical body is designed for the struggle. We get stressed and the body comes in and accommodates that stress by releasing endorphins, so the stress doesn't take its toll on the body. But for some reason in our conditioning, we're conditioned to hang on to thoughts that really cause us to suffer. It keeps us from really discovering who we are. So I'm asked all the time, so how am I going to know when I'm living an enlightened life? So first of all, suffering. If you suffer, you're not in alignment with your enlightened life. So you change what's causing you to suffer, and then you move into the state of enlightenment. You'll find yourself more open to change and less fearful of the unknown. You'll feel a stronger connection between you and your divine source, your creator of all that exists. You'll greet each day with enthusiasm and believe that you deserve the best that life has to offer. You'll wake up with a sense of hope. Maybe your task list is really a long one, but the desire is to get as far into the task list as you can and to have the hope that you're going to get through it, and by the end of the day, you're going to feel good about it. Make different choices that focus on what you want rather than what you don't want. I always go in with this one. I will say to someone, don't think about a hippopotamus. And then I'll talk about something else. And all their mind is doing is thinking about a hippopotamus. So don't focus on what you don't want. If you are focusing on scarcity and you're trying to focus on abundance, but your real thoughts are on scarcity, then you're going to get scarcity. What you'll do is you'll also, when you're in that enlightened state of consciousness, you'll give yourself more time that's needed to do what's important to you rather than what's urgent. Dr. Stephen Covey talked about this in his book on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, is that it's important for us every day to do what's important versus what's urgent, that's being driven by other people's agendas and other people's demands. When we do what's important, we tap into our strengths, it makes our heart smile, and it really rejuvenates our body, it rejuvenates the mind, it gives us a change of scenery. So every day, do something that's important to you rather than what's urgent and important to others. The other part of enlightenment is you'll find the desire to take time for introspection. You'll find the desire, whether it's in meditation or it's for a walk, whatever it may be, you'll really want to step outside of the hustle and bustle of the outside world and be able to touch your inner self and to, you know, feel that inner self. And what you'll find is you'll find this happy little go-lucky self inside. And you really, when you touch your soul, you don't find a soul in there that's going, oh, woe is me, woe is me. Then you find a soul in there, it's like, oh, okay, well, gosh, you know, where do we want to go now? Also, what you'll do is you'll embrace your personality rather than trying to change it. And the reason for that is your personality is what really makes you uniquely you. If you're not familiar with your personality, my work in personality, I teach it by color. You can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. There's a free brief mini assessment on the site itself. Take it. You'll become a color. I use color because it doesn't have the labeling. It's a common language we all use, a universal language. And what you'll do is you can start the process of understanding your neurology. How do you gather information? How do you make decisions? And when you do that, you'll find yourself really recognizing that your neurology, how you gather and make decisions, really is what can lead you to the enlightened life. It's when we try to be someone we aren't or to think like others think we should that we step out of the neurology of our personality. I call it a coping color. And then all of a sudden, we're not even being ourselves. We find ourselves either sick or emotionally miserable, and voila, we have suffering. So if you'd like to know more about your personality, then you can go to either Hay House or hayhouse.com or amazon.com, and you can purchase my personality books, Personality Your Health, also What Colors Your Personality, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It. All of those have a full assessment within it and a full description of each of the four colors. And I will tell you, it has been such a joyful time to be able to work with people to discover their personality, because they suddenly say, oh, that's who I am. That's why I do things this way. You know, I may not be good at managing all the details. I can't stand redundancy. Well, if your personality neurology isn't inclined to be comfortable in that arena, maybe you're an artist. And then if you have to do something as numbers, it's going to be a compromise suffering. And then you know that you just need to be true to yourself and be true to your color. One of the fun things that always happens in my workshop, and they say, This is who I am. Okay. Well, this is who I am. We're going from there. All right. What I want to do, let's go ahead and jump in. Lucinda from Massachusetts. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, hon.
How are you?
I am very good. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
How can I help you?
Well, I have psoriasis. I've had it for, since my 30s. I'm 53. And it just started out small, and a couple of years ago, it crept to my hands, which, you know, then long sleeves doesn't cover it, and now it's starting on my
face. Are you there, honey? Oh, good. Sorry about that. For some reason, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, and you were there, and then you were gone. So you've had psoriasis since you were 30 years old, is that correct?
About 32.
Okay.
So about 20 years, and it was easy to, you know, wear long sleeves and pants, but now it's on my hands and it's getting to my face. I'm also a hypnotherapist, and I do NLP and EFT. And
good.
I've hardly got any clients. I think it's the embarrassment of this and not being able to get rid of it and not knowing what's blocking it is making me feel almost as though, you know, like, I should be able to take care of this. If I'm going to help people heal things about themselves, it's almost like who would go to a 400-pound person to lose weight?
Well, you know what? Oh, boy, can I relate to that, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners can. And you know the reality of us, we're very human. We have a human body that basically runs into its own things. When we get into this healing field, we think that we ought to be able to heal ourselves. But you know what? Sometimes, honey, like you help your clients in hypnotherapy, sometimes it takes someone else to do it. So thanks for calling me with this.
Thank you.
With psoriasis, sweetie, the most important thing that you can do is you can feed your liver what it needs and give your immune system what it needs. Psoriasis is an outcome in the skin from both there being too much waste in the body and so forth. So what you can do is look at things that you can feed your liver. Liver loves red, green, orange, yellow fruits and vegetables, primarily a lot of chlorophyll. That can help a lot. The other thing is psoriasis is another way that the immune system basically is attacking the skin itself. So I'm going to take it. So there's the two things from the physiology of the body is look into what you can do to support your immune system. You will want to be careful of any kind of supplements. You will want to be careful and mindful of any topical creams that you put on your body, because all of those things have got to go through the liver in order to be processed and eliminated from the body. Psycho-spiritually, in my world as a medical intuitive, the skin is our soul. It's the visual representation of our soul. when we have skin eruptions such as psoriasis, or we have hives or shingles or anything like that, it is our soul's way of telling us that something inside of us is irritating us, and the soul is doing what it's designed to do, the same way the body's designed to take infection, to get it out of the body via either the skin or through mucus or through waste, whatever it may be. The soul takes what's irritating us and it's pushing it to the surface so we can basically not hold those thoughts about ourselves, those thoughts that cause us to betray ourselves, that self-doubt to eat at us, to be able to keep us irritated with ourselves. Those are all the metaphors I have around psoriasis, as a medical intuitive. So when you're looking at that, as you're looking at what can you physically do for your liver and your immune system, your spleen, which basically is, you know, the integral part of the immune system itself, then what you want to do is, in the liver, we hold guilt, anger, shame, and resentment. When we feel guilty about something, that's always gifted by someone else, by the way, that makes us feel that way, and we hang on to that, and we start to turn on ourselves, our liver then stops functioning optimally like it's designed. When we get angry with ourselves, our soul will not allow us to do that, and it will force that anger to the surface. When I touch you energetically, let go of the anger you have around not being heard. Your hypnotherapy is a great gift. You are not your typical hypnotherapist. You don't follow the same protocol, meaning that you're not going to be using hypnotherapy the same way that other people are using it, or even the way that maybe you were trained to use it. You've got your own focus. What if you were to take your hypnotherapy and direct it to helping people be able to bring to expression what is irritating them inside? Then you'll be a part of your own healing. What if you took your hypnotherapy, and what if you took and used it in pain management, or you used it in how to be able to heal what's ailing you inside, thoughts, emotions, physically? And what if you did like a medical hypnotherapy? What if you went back in your past lives and having somebody facilitate you to the lifetime where you were a doctor, when you were working with lepers, and that you found that in your desire to be of service to others, that you became infected with it, and that what you have is a residual of that memory? Maybe you're holding back from helping each other and others because of the fear of that old memory, sweetie.
Wow.
You've got a great gift. Lucinda, you connect the dots beautifully, honey. So look and take your hypnotherapy. And I'm only going to start there because that really resonates, because you start at the soul of someone. And that's what hypnotherapy really does. It starts at the soul of someone and it moves to their outer physical expressions, emotions, thoughts, physical ailments in the body. Just take a deep breath. Let go of the anger. Focus on what you desire. Take the time to contemplate where you want to take this gift that you have with it. And then start in the development. Put together the plan. How are you going to find these people? What do you want the universe to do to support you? Make yourself as unique as you really are. So you won't be in the crowd of all the, you know, thousands of hypnotherapists that are out there that are all very, very skilled in their own way. But a lot of times we use what we're taught and we think that's the only way we can. If you're doing weight management, let it go. If you're doing hypnotherapy around, you know, smoking cessation, let it go, sweetie. That's not who you are. You deal at the soul level. That's going to help.
Thank you.
You are welcome. That was a pleasure. You are such a bright light and so easy to read. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. All right. So let's go to Sandy in North Carolina. Hi, Sandy.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, I finally got in.
You did. You did. We've got about 6 minutes, but doggone, we're going to make the best of it. So how can I help you?
Well, you know, I'm concerned about my heart and my liver.
Okay.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe other things, but I have a lot of times when I get ready to go to sleep, my heart just pounds out real loud. You know, I mean, you just feel it.
Correct.
And I've had liver problems in the past. My doctor hasn't really addressed that lately.
Okay. Your liver enzymes, as I'm touching you, sweetie, are back to being elevated. I would go talk to the doctor with that. I don't really believe that the liver and the heart are connected. I know that they're connected energetically. I know that they're connected in the physiology of the human body and everything. But what I'm picking up with the heart is a completely different, separate thing from what's going on with the liver. The liver is, like I said, it's part of the waste management process. It's part of the process of working with glucose and so forth. So it feels like your liver enzymes are slightly elevated. I would go back to your doctor, have a conversation, see what you need to do for that. The heart itself, there's some arrhythmia that's taking place that seems like, here's how it feels to me. It seems like in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is that involuntary system that regulates the heart, is it feels like every so often it short circuits. It's kind of like putting a finger in a 220 light socket. Everything becomes lightened up and becomes over exaggerated, and that's where I'm getting the arrhythmia and this palpitation and these very defined heartbeats. Now, the gift of the heartbeats itself, yes, they're defined. Yes, you can feel them because they're exaggerated. But what I'm not feeling is I'm not feeling an erraticness in them. I'm just feeling a hormonal change that is happening in your physical body. This is more hormone than it has to do with liver, that it has to do with it being a heart problem and so forth on it. It's kind of like getting those power surges that we as women get just through the change of our natural feminine female hormones and so forth with it. That's what I'm picking up. As I've been talking, I've been going into the heart itself, and I've been looking to see, do we have any anomalies that would cause this? I'm not picking up any in the heart wall itself, any potentials for aneurysms. I'm not picking up in the pulmonary valve, the aortic valve. I'm not picking up that there's an issue. I do have a little slight heart murmur when I go into that mitral valve itself. You've had this since you were a little girl. It's not anything that's going to be done. When you get these hormone changes, you get emotionally distressed within 5 or 6 hours that you go to bed, or you're ruminating on something that happened emotionally. It creates this anxiety. It gives you a fight or flight, the adrenaline, and I believe that that's what we're looking at. So I would look at hormones. I would look at what kind of sets you off on a daily basis. There's some emotional let go that you've been working on the last few months. Just let it go, sweetie.
Okay. And what is there anything I should do about the hormones?
Yes, you should go and probably get blood work, find out where they are. Do you have a good OBGYN that you can go to, or a doctor that you feel comfortable with talking about the hormones?
No, I haven't got anybody. Since I've moved from Atlanta to Raleigh, I really haven't found anybody.
Okay. What I do is find a compound pharmacy and see if you can go and talk to the pharmacist and see if there's any doctors that do any kind of that's integrative medicine that has both the MD background and then understands how to deal with these things holistically. Until we get your liver stabilized to where it is, bioidentical should not be an option for you, sweetie.
Okay. I'm also taking a medicine that's experimental for tinnitus. Is that a problem?
Yes. You want to talk to your doctor. That may very well be what is also elevating the liver enzymes. So good place to go.
So I need to get an integrative holistic doctor.
Yes.
And I guess the pharmacies that do the...
Compound pharmacist.
Compound. Okay.
Yep. Well, listen, sweetie, I'm glad you're really good. You were open. I've got to wrap up the show. Thanks so much, Sandy, for calling me. And all of you, thank you for joining me for the first show of 2011. If you want to rehear this show, you can go into my archives on Ritberger.com. Have a wonderful, enlightened day and a wonderful week. And I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to The Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.